Hello and welcome to episode 14 of It's Funny Now, Stories You're Glad Didn't Happen to You. My name is Frank Trainer. I'm the creator and producer of the show where people tell stories that maybe were embarrassing, cringy, terrifying, shameful, disgusting, even sad sometimes when they happened. But with the help of time, we can say, it's funny now. Our show is recorded live at The Crow in Santa Monica, California. That's the new comedy club for elevated comedy in Los Angeles. It happens every second Tuesday of the month. And on this podcast, you will hear the best stories to come out of that stage. On today's episode, we have Dan Telfer with his story, Zipline.
At the time, I said, porn for me! And I just shoved it in my pockets and just like filled my pockets with tiny torn up squares of hardcore pornography.
Dan is the former senior editor of Mad Magazine and has done stand-up on Comedy Central and Last Comic Standing, and he has written for the game Dungeons & Dragons, and he also consulted for the recent D&D movie. And now, on It's Funny Now, without further ado, here is Dan with his story, Zipline.
So, right now, I'm the healthiest I've ever been, easily. Like, 7 years ago, I had cancer. I weighed, like, 300 pounds from all the steroids I had to take. 7 years cancer-free. Thank you. The warmth of your gratuitous applause is my second favorite radiation treatment. Thank you so much. But it's my one bad cancer joke, but I've had it, so it's fine. But I'm very healthy now, right? But before that, it was just my whole life cycles of not taking great care of myself, but also just like, I don't know, genetics not being super kind from the get-go. So I was always either like this pudgy kid who got heavily bullied, or this scrawny, rail thin kid because God like pushed my pituitary gland and I would just shoot up and not know what to do with my body. And so at one point, I'm 13 years old, and I'd recently run away from home with my dad. My parents were divorced. My dad was a piece of garbage. I went to go live with my mom and my stepdad, my brother, two stepbrothers. I'm just like living over there. And like, I'm 6'5". I don't know if you can tell. But halfway through my freshman year, I was about that tall, entering a new high school, and on top of being this big gangly nerd, halfway through his most vulnerable year of school, I had recently dislocated my knee. Like, I was playing basketball while I worked as a golf caddy, and I was playing basketball and I dislocated my knee. And I wasn't like going up for like a sick layup or something. I was just like dribbling the ball alone, like, and it just, my kneecap fell out. Like, I was such a sissy, my muscles couldn't hold my skeleton inside my body. So I then had to have this giant cyborg-looking brace on my leg as I entered a new high school, which is not exciting. Definitely something people notice when they meet you. And I was having a little bit of a hard time. Luckily, though, I had a new stepbrother who was about my age, and he was like, Dan, I know you're queer or something. I can't quite pin it down. Do you want to tell me what's going on exactly with that? And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, I figured you'd say that. So I'm going to make it my mission to make you cool. And I was like, great. So my stepbrother Keith, you know, we lived in the south suburbs of Chicago, and he offered to take me to this place called The Prairie. That doesn't really exist in the suburbs. If you're, anyone here from the Midwest? Yes, so like The Prairie, the suburbs, that's not, it's, there's no groundhogs or like buffalo. What The Prairie meant in south suburban Chicago was there was an old racetrack that had been sort of destroyed by nature and just like a bunch of open space around it that no one wanted to develop, but teenagers would go there and do drugs. So my stepbrother's like, we're going to The Prairie. I'm going to show you this thing. And as we're crawling underneath a chain link fence, I haven't told this story in a long time. This is really genuine, like, concern about how this is going to sound. This next part, this very next line isn't that, but I'm thinking 20 lines ahead, and it's terrifying. But my stepbrother, also a freshman, goes, hey, why don't you go explore the prairie or something? I have some wink business to attend to. And he just runs off. So I'm alone in this dystopian wasteland, just me and Roboleg, the worst Harlan Ellison novel ever written, just this like limping around, don't know what I'm supposed to look at, have not been handed weed or anything. And I just start wandering around by myself. And I kind of walk past this creek. It was probably just a sewer drainage ditch or something, but there's like water running through the concrete. And there's this big rock with some trees around it, kind of secluded. And sort of wedged under this big rock was an army ammunition box with a padlock on it. Now, I've never done anything detective-like in my life, but I was like, I'm gonna be cool today. So I pick this thing up without any idea of what I'm about to find, and I start smashing the padlock on the rock over and over again. It takes a long time, makes a lot of noise, makes me a little nervous. I wonder if maybe my stepbrother will just come over here and relieve me of whatever this brave thing is I'm trying to do. He doesn't show up, so unfortunately, I smash the lock off eventually. And inside the ammunition box were hundreds of torn up tiny squares of hardcore pornography. Little shame capsule somebody had left in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, what? Oh, well, see, you don't get it. Some people, you've found porn in the woods, right? I'm not alone. This is like a trope. Clap your hands if you found porn in the woods. So I'm not saying you're wrong for being surprised, but I am saying welcome to the horrifying world you've actually lived in all these years. And it happens in the suburbs a lot. People are just not in touch with themselves. They don't know where to take care of it. And I say this just to try to paint a picture of how nervous I was at the time, but I'm a demisexual. Does anybody know what that is? So yeah, like I don't even experience, it sucks. Like my whole life I've had trouble with this, and the word didn't even exist for it till 10 years ago. And if you hear demisexual, you might be like, oh, demisexual, is that like an incubus or a succubus? Like you fuck demons or something? No. I don't experience any sexual arousal at all unless I've developed like a long-term connection with somebody, or as a trans friend of mine said, oh, you're picky. And so I didn't know what to do with all this porn, but I did know I was immediately starting to create stories in my head of what if I saved naked women from a post-apocalyptic wasteland, would they want to kiss me or something? It's as sad as it, I told you it was coming. Here comes the humiliating stuff. It gets so much worse. So like, again, I'm 44 years old. I have gone through therapy for obsessive compulsive disorder, but I feel like every time I tell this story, I'm gonna regress. And just thinking about this, I wanna wash my hands for an hour until like my skin gets chapped. But at the time I said, porn for me, and I just shoved it in my pockets and just like filled my pockets with tiny torn up squares of hardcore pornography. You're excited about it. I was not sure what was happening at the time. I was confused, terrified, kind of excited, but mostly hypervigilant and afraid someone was gonna walk up. And no one walked up, but I did hear my stepbrother Keith call out, hey, come here, you queer, I wanna show you this thing. And I go and I start jogging over in the direction of his voice. I realize I have just a massive boner, like a steel hard boner. Hadn't had one in a while. It was because I created stories in my head. Oh, not again. And so I get to this clearing where my stepbrother is. I'm like, I can't let him see like my pockets or my boner. So I'm gonna look at whatever is in this clearing that is, you know, the second most noticeable, not my second to my boner, second to my brother. My brother, I'm gonna look away from my brother so he doesn't see the boner. I would look at whatever the other thing in the field. And I so unfortunately looked at the object of terror that was about to get things much, much worse. A very tall climbing tree. And my stepbrother said, yeah, look, it's a zip line me and my friends built. My stepbrother and his friends had somehow acquired over 100 yards of high-tension steel cable. Wonder how they found that? I'll never know. But they fastened it, like, 4 stories up this tree. To this day, I'm not sure how high up it was, but it was taller than the 2 stories where I did science experiments at my high school. It was tall. And they had attached this cable up there, and he's like, you gotta do it, bro. It's gonna make you cool. You gotta get up there. And I was like, I'll go up there and look at the view, which, what am I talking about? Like, you can't just climb a tree for the view and then climb down when there's this exciting adrenaline thing happening. Also, it took me 20 minutes to climb this tree because I had robo leg. Just 20 minutes of me going like, huh? Like just trying to like take this unbendable knee, just like up all these branches. And I finally get up there and it's just been so boring watching me. I feel like I have to go down the zip line. And the zip line itself, it wasn't, you know, standard zip line issue. My stepbrother had ripped the front end of a bike off of a bike that he maybe stole or something and took the tire off, and they would just ride the groove of the bike down the cable. And so I grabbed the handlebars and I go to push off. And I don't know if any of you guys have this thing called control of your body, but I did not. And so when my weight like hit the cable, it was not very well fastened. There was a lot of slack on this cable. So there was that bounce as it compensated for my weight, and my hands went, whoa, that's hard, no thanks, and just let go immediately. So I start falling down this tree from well over 2 stories up. And as I'm falling down, I'm hitting bigger and bigger branches. They're hitting me harder and harder. And I'm just trying to land like this so I don't land on my boner and snap it off. And I hit the ground with so much force that I simultaneously black out and get the wind knocked out of me. So I'm like kind of just twitching and barely breathing and completely unconscious. And so then I wake up. And my stepbrother is kneeling over me, and he was a very like stoic, stoner kind of kid, but his eyes were puffy from crying. He was so upset, and he was just like, oh my God, you're alive. Oh my God, I'm so glad you're alive. Listen, I gotta tell you something that's really important. Earlier when I said I had some business to attend to, I ran off and I bought a backpack full of marijuana. And I thought you just deliberately tried to kill yourself. So I ran to a payphone, called 911, the cops are on their way, we gotta go. And he just ran off. Nothing was broken, but my clothes were like shredded, right? Like I hit a lot of branches, horrible bruises that were 3-dimensional, just like cuts all over me. And I still have robo leg. So I get up and I'm like, ugh, like trying to follow my stepbrother who's like in a full sprint. And he gets pretty far away and then he looks over his shoulder and like he just falls over laughing because of how pathetic I look, right? And he starts to like come towards me just like laughing and I'm like, fuck you, it's the worst day of my life. He's like, you don't understand. It's so much worse than you even know. Because when you let go of those handlebars, my first thought was, of course, he's killing himself. He's so lame. He came here. He'd heard about the zip line. He knew there was a way he could kill himself. So he prepared for this day, and he was not even going to try. You weren't trying, were you? That's what I thought. So then you drop, and every time you hit a branch, this confetti is flying out of your pockets. And you died. And I was like, well, I guess I'll pick up this confetti and try to make sense of my new brother's sudden death. And I look at it, and it's all these naked ladies. I'm like, oh, this is like your suicide note. Like, these are all the beautiful women you couldn't have in life because you never liked girls or anything. And I was like, no, that's not what happened at all. He's like, I don't care. The deal to make you cool is off. I'm telling everyone at school you're a masturbation pinata. Sorry about the social life I promised you. And then we kind of laughed together for a second before running away from the cops. That's my story, everybody. Thank you for listening.
That's it. That's her episode. So many layers to this story. My favorite part is when he says that he's basically a porn piñata. I will never forget the term porn piñata in my life. I love the term porn piñata. I have it in my mind all the time now. In fact, I want to start a band just to name it porn piñata, and then just, what kind of music would porn piñata, the band, play? It sounds like punk. It sounds like maybe pop punk or something. It sounds very unholy, that's for sure. Porn piñata. Thank you, Dante Alfer, for being on our show. Dan, by the way, he was on our anniversary show back in August, and our headliner, who was supposed to headline a very important show, canceled at the last minute. And Dan came in to fill in that spot right away, and he just killed with this fabulous story. We were going to have him back on the show very soon. Of course, you can watch the video of this story on our YouTube channel, and you can find information about future shows and how to pitch your own story on our website, itsfunnynowstorytelling.com. And also, you can drop us a line, tell us what you think, tell us if you've ever had a porn piñata in one of your birthday parties, or if you've ever been a porn piñata yourself. And of course, you can find a new episode every Monday on all podcast streaming platforms. On the next episode, we have John Taylor with his story, Vegas is Calling.
I'm in the hospital room, and I'm just meeting characters of my brother's life. And as a grown man, I'm asking some gambler named Minnesota Fat Joe what happened during the last year of my brother's life.
Thanks for listening, and remember, tragedy plus time, it's funny now. See you next time.